This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Audrey Raj.
We've been talking about goals. Have you achieved any of your 2019 goals? If you haven't, why not? If you have, tell us all about them. Let's celebrate them together. Celebrating is what we're talking about, of course, has been part of the discussion today. We've got a couple more messages on Insta Story. Mark Hiziel has said, be better than last year is part of his goal. And then TGYA Photo has said, a personal front, unfortunately no, but on the corporate side, mostly achieved. Well done.
Good for you.
If you'd like to get in touch and contribute, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. At BFM Radio. We spoke just a minute ago about how it's not about the millennials, it's about the eight-year-olds. Now, something that is a problem that has been going on for years and years and years is about music festivals and the amount of junk and trash that is left lying around at these things. What can we do about it?
Well, we're going to have to do something about it because these music festivals are a large slice of the music industry today. You know, of course, because of the crowds that are valuing experiences over consumer goods and the spike in digital streaming that has made musicians need to seek revenue via touring. But having to essentially create these mini cities for a short duration for the influx of people looking to dance, drink, eat, shop, these festivals have a really bad ecological footprint. And while summer is generally considered prime music festival time for other countries, yeah. Not here where it's summer all the time, there are more events that are now extending well into winter and the fall months. So there's like a glut of events, which means more fields left covered in plastic water bottles, right? And this is why festivals across the world have begun looking at innovative ways to solve the problems of waste and pollution. This article that I picked up is from Fast Company, and it talks about how three festival organizers are trying to clean up the usually dirty music festival business. So the first one here is called FME, and they are a festival just outside of Montreal in Canada. This festival features emerging artists who perform on stages and at special pop-up venues throughout the city. So there are multiple stages. And for FME, it's been a mindset that incrementally has changed over the years. And they've implemented this through gradual policy changes. They've removed plastic from backstage areas several years ago. They worked with more ecologically friendly artists on their riders, which is like their requests for food and amenities backstage. In 2019, the festival began reducing paper usage by replacing their programs with an app, a move that they estimate will save almost a half a ton of paper. Continued from last year is their environmental tax of $1.50 per person. This is the first time it's been done in Canada. This year, those extra funds, which will come into about $5,000, will be fueled to protecting the local environment. Basically, they're going to plant an entire forest, 1.9 hectares of it, with this environmental tax.
Love it.
Yeah, so that is FME in Canada. And then there's this one in Holland, which is called Welcome to the Village. And it's a music and arts event that draws diverse acts and only happens for 4 days a year. And it started out doing feel-good activities because they call themselves activists, right? And they started out doing feel-good activities like having attendees power their phones via electricity created on a bike. But then they came to realize that these stunts, they don't create a lasting change. So they said that we shouldn't be focused on awareness projects, we should be doing innovation projects, and then the awareness will come with that. So they have started opening up to startups who want to test their sustainable prototypes in the live context of the festival. So they said that they have 8,000 people who will be traveling to the festival every year, and if your product doesn't work, then they are going to destroy it, and they don't care about your product, right? But that's what you want. You need to fail. So they've created a place where these startups can fail with their sustainable prototypes. And because you fail, you can improve, right?
Yep.
And projects tested and brought to the market after testing at Welcome to the Village include compostable cardboard tents, cricket burgers. I know. And there's this very thick grey insulated cups for hot drinks that they say it's like unparalleled. That's what Welcome to the Village is doing. And this is the final one, and this is called The Flow in Helsinki. And this festival draws 80,000 attendees every year. And they even feature headline sets from Tame Impala, The Cure, and bands like that. They quietly went zero waste 10 years ago, in 2009. They did this with the help of their cleaning staff of 400 people who sort recycling by hand. They use green electricity and they actually purchase carbon credits. They've also now upped their game. This is because Flow's ethos, the Flow Festival's their ethos, is hardwired into the larger Helsinki-wide sustainable initiative. So the whole city tries to be sustainable, is aiming to be sustainable by the year 2035. And they have already fulfilled, they've got 17 criterias that you have to fulfill in order to be completely sustainable. This festival has done 14 of the 17 already, including things like recycling more than the waste that you produce. They also have a plan on how to minimize the visitors' environmental impact when traveling to and from the event. And they've also taken measure to ensure that travel to and from the event is more environmentally friendly. And so they also have zero parking options, which means that attendees need to bike, walk, or take public transportation. And this year, some of the larger initiatives that they've announced is encouraging vendors to provide at least one sustainable meal. And then the participants can come and they can vote for their favorite vendor, you know, with the meals. And next year, they will get a cut from their rental at the festival.
Brilliant ideas.
Right?
I love it.
I'd really like some of our local festival organizers to kind of adopt some of these ideas. Yeah. Whether or not it's a music festival, a food festival, whatever. I think what the focus has been for a long time is about how cool the festival can be and how smart it can be. And we can have these tags where you load money up onto it. Great idea. But, you know, implementation was a little bit difficult in some
places.
But
also, it's like what happens after. It doesn't really set in your mind, right? That, oh, I'm actually saving the environment by using the wrist tags, right? It's just a convenience thing, using the wrist tags. So what these event organizers are doing is trying to find ways where it's embedded into your mindset.
It becomes a norm.
Yeah, it becomes a norm, right? So, you know, not just festivals, but, you know, in Malaysia, every weekend seems to be some flea market weekend, right? So,
conferences.
Or conferences and stuff, right? So, you know, perhaps, you know, it's a good time for them to, you know, relook into some of the strategies that they can implement for the next year, in the year 2020, to do some of this cool stuff.
One of the ideas I liked from the second festival, the one in
Welcome to the Village in
Welcome
Holland.
Welcome to the Village, the tents.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to like a 2-3 day event festival somewhere in Europe or wherever you've been, there are tents left after the festival everywhere. You know, people just like, I paid, you know, 15, 20 ringgit or however much it is, 30 ringgit for a tent, and they don't want to take it home with them. And of course, it's just left there in the middle of this field, surrounded by plastic bottles and all this kind of plastic waste. And I hated seeing that.
So the lowest hanging fruit, I guess, would be like just the plastic bottles, right? And at the Flow in Helsinki, they actually did this program. They partnered with a corporation and they did this tree planting project. Basically, you deposit your bottles and by the end of the weekend, just, you know, 2 days, they had earned enough to replant like 12,000 trees. And they're going to build a mini forest now in Madagascar.
Brilliant. We've got to wrap up for the weekend, folks. Of course, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you very much for tuning in, though, and participating throughout the show. We were talking, of course, about goals and whether or not you achieved any of your 2019 goals. A little bit of a response, you know, some of you did, some of you didn't, some of you are kind of on the way there.
I guess they were shocked to find that it's only 60 days before the year ends.
It's a bit of a shock, right?
Yeah, so they got to their goals immediately, put their head down,
carried on working. Yeah. So that's what we did throughout the show, and we then moved on to...
Yeah, and then we talked about what happened from the yesterday's Max's Business Spark event from Mike Walsh, and it's not about millennials, it's about the 8-year-olds.
And then we finished up with that story about cleaning up the dirty music festival business.
But don't go anywhere, and if you have any interest in radio and you'd like to get a little bit of a peek into our life here at the station and what goes on with the running of the station, particularly on the world of software. So radio software, it's slightly niche, but of course it's an important nonetheless. A major player in this space is RCS and Media Monitors, who make the radio software for most radio stations in Malaysia. The Breakfast Grill spoke with their CEO about business growth strategies and the future of radio. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This has been
The Enterprise Biz Bites
with
Audrey Raj
and
Jeff Saunders.
And of course, Christine Wong. Have yourself a lovely weekend. We'll be back on Monday. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.